Good morning. Glad that you are here. As we invite, we welcome the visitors that we have. We appreciate that you are with us. And we invite everyone to give attention in a moment to God's Word as we study from what God has said to us, hearing what He has for us to listen to, that we can put our faith in Him and live by that faith each day. If you're here and not a Christian, we want to encourage you especially to hear God's Word concerning your salvation from sin. That as the passage just that Caleb just read for us, our justification is by faith, and through Christ we have peace with God. And so the gospel reveals to us the faith that saves. If we will put that trust in Christ, confess that faith, repenting of our sins and be baptized into Jesus Christ, He will, as He's promised, save us from our sins. We urge that response of faith of those that have that need of salvation today, and also to return to the Lord in repentant prayer as a God's child if there's sin in your life. Before we get started into our study, I do also want to take just a moment on behalf for Ashley and Philip to thank all those who provided food for Ashley's family following the funeral of her sister Rhonda on Friday. They really appreciate that. And I want to thank everyone who was able to help in that. They thank you very much for that. So great to see Joyce home. We already mentioned that earlier, but glad that she's back safe. We've missed her. Glad that all's well with her and able to be back with us. We're going to study a subject this morning that sounds contradictory. How is it we rejoice in tribulations? We read about it in Romans 5. It sounds and appears to be a contradiction that we can rejoice or glory in tribulation. And yet, Jesus Himself talked about it. In Matthew 5 and verse 10, He said, "Blessed are those," that is, happy and fortunate, "are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Jesus says that it is entirely plausible and preferred that we accept tribulation, persecution, trial, for His sake, for the sake of righteousness, falsely treated, in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. Heavenly blessings for those who will be willing to accept earthly trials. See, the trials of life affect our faith. Now, for some, when those trials come, their faith falters. Jesus described that as the rocky soil in the parable of the soils and the sower. He said that some of the seed falls upon the rocky soil and it springs up, but in times of trial, they fall away. Sometimes the trials that come to us in our faith will cause some to falter. And it's not because of God. God is there to help us through, as we'll see, these trials. But sometimes trials bring the faltering. On the other hand, sometimes the trials bring a strengthening, as James talks about and we'll see as well. And so we need an appreciation and an understanding of what Paul means when he says rejoice or glory in tribulations, Romans 5 and verse 3. What can we learn and how can we learn? How can we do that? I look out this morning and I don't see anybody that has not faced or is not now facing some kind of trial or tribulation. If you're exempt, you can feel free to raise your hand. Either you have, you will, or you are. And so the very practical point of our lesson this morning is, how do we do that? How do we rejoice or glory in a period of trial or tribulation? Well, let's allow God to teach us. Because that's what we want. We want to understand how to do it. And live in His blessing and honor Him. The word tribulation talks about pressure. It means pressure or distress or affliction. It is a word that particularly and often describes some pressure that is brought on from some outside circumstance. Some as we read in Matthew 5, persecution, or someone speaking evil of you, somebody bringing some pressure to bear upon you, something that will bring, maybe it's oppressive and distressful and brings a burden to your heart. That's the idea of this word, tribulation. In the Scriptures, the word is applied, for example, to childbirth. In John 16 and verse 21, Jesus said that a woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. The word anguish is the word tribulation. And I suspect that 30 years ago today, David doesn't remember the anguish Jeremy caused her. Oh, he turns 30 today. That's right. See, I got it in, didn't I, son? That's the word. That's the same word he uses in Romans 5 and verse 3. Anguish, tribulation. So in childbirth, there is an anguish. There is a pain that the word describes. So you're not going through childbirth today, but there's something in our lives at times because of our faith that we experience that illustrates the concept that there is a pressure, there is a distress, there is a hurt, a pain that exists. Look again at Matthew 24, 20 and 21. The word is used about war. When it talks about the great tribulation in signs leading up to the destruction of Jerusalem. Now, a lot of people lift that out of its context and try to put it out in our future somewhere. But Matthew 24 was talking about the generation that was then living. Matthew 24 and verse 36. Jesus gave us a time stamp of the... Actually, verse 34, He gave the time stamp that these things would happen before this generation passed away. But there would be great tribulation. And what He was describing was the war that would be brought against Jerusalem by the Romans. Luke 21, 23 and 24 talks about the same event and uses the word distress. There would be great distress. So when we talk about tribulation, it's likened unto the events of childbirth. It's likened unto the events of war. And also, it's likened unto the future punishment of hell, the divine retribution. It says it's a righteous thing that God repay with tribulation those who trouble you. God is going to give a just recompense of tribulation to those who trouble the faithful people of God. Because He is just, He is righteous, and such will be the case. Now, that's how the Bible, in a very brief way and description, talks about it and uses this term tribulation. But now let's talk about something that we can all relate to in these things, and that is they're faced by every one of us. These tribulations are common to us all. In John 16 and 33, these things I've spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. So in the world you will have distress. You will have pressures brought to bear upon you because of your faith. They will bring times of oppression, of affliction, of anxiety, of burden, of pain. But in me you have peace. Now, remember in Romans 5, Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Christian has peace with God. We're in this saved relationship with God, even though in this world we have tribulation. In this world there are pressures, there are distresses, there are anxieties and burdens that press upon us. And let me say right now, Satan and the world will use those to try to destroy your faith. Yet Jesus said, be of good courage. Take faith. Don't be destroyed, but take faith. I have overcome the world. And that is the sustaining element that we'll be pointing to throughout the study. In Mark 4, 16 and 17, we already mentioned this passage about the parable and Jesus' interpretation of the parable and the rocky soil. In his description of it here, he says that the stony ground is those, when they hear the word, immediately they receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves. And so they endure for a time, and afterward, when tribulation, here's our word, when tribulation or persecutions arise for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Luke says they fall away. So these tribulations that we're talking about come because of the word of God. They come because God in His Word teaches us and directs us in a course of life that we choose to follow, and tribulation results. Now, the stony soil, because the heart was unwilling to accept what the Word directed, and the persecutions that followed, fell away, fell back, refused to apply and follow the Word of God to bear good fruit. The tribulations of which we speak is because of being faithful to God's Word, of living God's truth. You see, the world does not persecute those who do not follow the truth. The world is very content with those who say they believe the Bible, but who do not follow the Bible, but bring the pressures to bear against those who not only say they believe the Bible, but then follow the Bible. That's where the distress, that's where the oppression, that's where the tribulation will come. And all who will be faithful to Jesus Christ will face it. Acts 20 and verse 23, external forces of persecution, of which we've already alluded and spoken of, is applied again here when Paul is on his way to Jerusalem. And he says that the Holy Spirit has testified in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. There are going to be external persecutions in Jerusalem that Paul would endure. He would be arrested there and eventually carried to Rome, a prisoner. So tribulations come to us externally, and they bring to bear these pressures because we are faithful to Jesus. They also affect the heart. These tribulations, obviously, when they can come from the outside, but they affect us on the inside. They affect our minds, our hearts, our emotions, our feelings, all that we are. In 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 4, 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 4 says, Paul wrote, For out of much affliction, and there's our word, out of much tribulation and anguish of heart. So here his heart is pressed, distressed, under affliction, with anguish. He says, I wrote to you with many tears. So Paul was very emotional when he wrote 1 Corinthians. That's his reference here. Not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love for which I have so abundantly for you. Paul's word, what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians was a very, very pointed rebuke of many problems and sins in the church. And he said, I wrote it with great tribulation of heart. What we're talking about then is when we're talking about rejoicing in tribulation, is grappling with external forces and the internal pressures that
come to bear as well.
How in the world, from the outside and from the inside, is it that now God expects me to rejoice, to glory in that? And just what does that mean? And how can that be done? Because we want to also note that what we're talking about is not overwhelming. It's not impossible. In fact, Acts 14:22 says that Paul was strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must through many tribulations, here's our word again, we must with many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. So he is strengthening them to continue in the faith, to keep following the word of God. When you're pressured on the outside and when your heart wells up within you because of those burdens, don't be overwhelmed. Continue in the faith, because in these tribulations, we enter into the kingdom of God. By enduring them, we enter the kingdom. So they are not overwhelming. They are not to be viewed as that which destroys us. But in fact, we're going to see that which, or they will and can be the very opportunity
that God is magnified, our faith
is strengthened as we continue in the faith, as we rejoice in the moment of tribulation, the moment when it seems darkest, when it seems overwhelming, to be able to rejoice in the tribulation. See, look, he says, I want you to notice something here, that he uses this word rejoice twice in this text. In Romans 5, our text this morning. Go back there. In verse 2. Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. We stand in the grace of God. And so we have full access as faithful children of God to God's favor, to God's blessing of hearing us, hearing our prayers, the spiritual blessings that are in Christ Jesus, the relationship of intimate fellowship that we have with our Father. All these blessings are ours. And so we rejoice in hope. Here's the first time. Rejoice in hope. That's the same word. Now, this is the New King James, but that word rejoice in English and glory in English is the same Greek word. Rejoice in hope, rejoice in tribulations. Glory in hope, glory in tribulations. That seems contradictory. How can you rejoice in hope in the same moment rejoice when pressures are thrown at you and you hurt inside and outside and feel like the pressure is just mounting upon you to be faithful and true to what is right? How in the world? But the Holy Spirit chose the same word to do in both, in the same context of those who stand in God's grace, having been justified by faith, and who have peace with God. The word rejoice here, or glory, depending on your translation. Some say boast is a translation used. Boast or exalt in, or take pride in. It's the idea that there is the benefit to be seen. And so we are bolstered in and are even able to be proud of the hope we have, to take glory in, to rejoice in tribulation that comes because of our faith rather than be destroyed by it. To rejoice when confronted with tribulation is no more irrational than to rejoice because of hope. He uses the same word. We think it's easy to rejoice in hope, but not really, because we haven't seen that which we hope for. It takes faith to rejoice in hope. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. You know, our hope rests upon our faith. So we have to. So we're called upon to rejoice in the expectations and desires we have, and also to be accepting of the tribulations that come our way because of the hope that we have laid hold on and that we will not let go. We will not become unfaithful to Jesus and relinquish our hope. We will stand in our faith, stand in God's grace, and accept the tribulation as a marker of our duty, our resolve, our commitment to Jesus Christ. You see, we walk by faith, not by sight. If we were to walk by sight, when tribulation comes, when pressure from the outside and burdens from within come, if we walk by sight, that would be the very moment that we fall away, that we let go, that we say, that's too much. But it's because we walk by faith that we seize our hope and we also glory in the tribulation. We say, there's something, some benefit I need to see here. There's some cause here bigger than me. Something bigger than me here that has to be honored and set before us. Now, how do we do that? Let's look at a few ways. One of the ways we do it is to develop the spirit within us that counts it an honor to suffer for Christ's sake. We develop the attitude, the spirit, the heart that says it's an honorable thing to be faithful to Jesus and to suffer for it. In Acts 5 and verse 41, this is the attitude of the apostles and the example they set in Acts 5:41. As they have been beaten because they would not close their mouths and stop preaching Jesus and Him crucified and raised from the dead. They're beaten and again commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus. And they let them go and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had been counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. Brethren, we have to develop that kind of spirit within us. That we are willing to suffer shame. Suffer the tribulation that comes with following Jesus Christ. You see, we've got to see the honor in contributing our part to sharing in Christ's sufferings. And that's really what we are doing when we remain faithful and accept the tribulation that comes for our faith. Then we're contributing our part to honoring His sufferings. Paul wrote about this in Colossians 1 and verse 24. This is the way he viewed his sufferings, his tribulations. Colossians 1 and 24 says, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you. And Paul didn't wallow in pity. He didn't surround himself with sorrows. I rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of His body, which is the church. See, to develop this spirit that accepts the honor of suffering necessarily means that we remove the focus from ourselves and the focus is placed upon Christ and His church. And that's what Paul had done. That's what he was able to do. He is in prison when he writes this. He has been in prison for years now at this point. Taken from Jerusalem all the way to Rome. Suffered on the way. And he says, I rejoice in the suffering. So so here's the challenge. Here's our challenge when put to the test to stay faithful to Jesus Christ. To view this as your opportunity to share in Christ's sufferings Because He agonized on the cross for us. And it is now our opportunity to suffer with Him. To be faithful and true to Him and accept the suffering on behalf of His church. Because see, Jesus died for us, His church. Ephesians 5. And so now we share in His sufferings on behalf of His people. We're helping each other. Did you ever think of that? When you endure an affliction, a tribulation, by being faithful to Jesus, you're helping the church. You are helping your brethren. Absolutely. Strengthening in your example and your resolve of faith. Paul said it was his intent and desire that he share in, have fellowship in Christ's sufferings, Philippians 3 and verse 10. And then look how Peter put it in 1 Peter 4:12 and 13. When he said, "Do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which has come to try you, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings." Here it is again. Rejoice. Take glory in partaking in pain, sorrow, distress, pressure, anxiety, burden. To the extent that you share in Christ's suffering, rejoice in that, so that when His glory is revealed, that is when Jesus comes back, now it's going to be all worthwhile. You may also be glad with exceeding joy. As the woman with child and the present tribulation at childbirth gives way to joy, the present moment of sorrow and tribulation will give way to eternal joy. That's how we endure it. That's how we rejoice. Because we develop a spirit of honoring Christ and sharing in His suffering and understanding what He plans for His faithful ones to be received in His presence. Verse 14, Peter goes on to say, "If you're reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory of God and of God rests upon you." The Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. God is with you. His presence is with you, on you, if you will accept the reproach for His name. Develop a spirit. Count it an honor. An honor to suffer for what is right. For doing what is right. For doing the will of God. So we hold Christ's sufferings before us. And rejoice that we have a part in those sufferings with Him.
That's one way we are able to rejoice in tribulation. Another way
is to recognize that suffering prepares us for greater usefulness in the kingdom. It's hard to see down the road in the moment of trial. It's hard to look beyond the present pain and distress. But Paul challenges us to do that in Romans 5, verses 3 and 4. And as he does it, I want you to see how he puts this. "Not only so, we also glory in tribulations, knowing." We know some things. We know some things by revelation, and we know some things by experience, I submit to you. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Then perseverance produces character, or approved, tested, tried character, and character hope. And that brings us right back to the hope of verse 2. And that hope does not disappoint, verse 5. So you see, we need to accept the premise and the principle stated by James that patience in time of tribulation matures our faith. And by maturing and strengthening our faith, it helps us and puts us in a position where we are even more useful in the kingdom, more helpful to our brethren, more strengthening to others who, like us, go through tribulation and trials.
of faith. In James 1, 2 and 4. Remember that passage? James said, count it all joy. Here's that word again. Rejoice and joy in when you fall into various trials. How do you do that? Well, here's our point. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. It matures you, and by maturing you, it again helps strengthen the church. Because we all face tribulations for our faith. Perseverance, the endurance, leads to a character that is tried and tested and approved by God, and leads to this enduring hope. It strengthens and secures it, solidifies it. So the way we rejoice when pressures and distresses come, by being true to God, for being true to God, we recognize that this is purging the, this is removing the non-essentials. This is purging away the dross and strengthening us, purifying us, equipping us in our own faith to be more mature and therefore more useful to our Master in the kingdom. Now that takes faith to see that, particularly in the moment of trial, in the moment of distress. And yet, this is what we are called to, because we are called to rejoice, to take glory in, to boast in the opportunity of trial for Jesus Christ, to rejoice in the spiritual blessings. Paul was able to do that and challenges us to follow the example in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 10 with his thorn in the flesh, you remember? He said, I will take pleasure, therefore, in infirmities, reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. How do we rejoice in tribulation? Well, we remember that tribulations help us long for heaven with greater intensity. They help to sharpen our focus of faith and our eyes upon heaven instead of this world. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, Jesus said. In that context of you're blessed when you're persecuted for my sake. Focus on heaven. Our focus is sharpened. Heaven becomes more real, more impactful as our life by the trials of faith purge the dross, purify us. 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7 uses that terminology. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little time, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials. You've been distressed. That's the word, grieved. You've been distressed by trials, but you greatly rejoice. That, why? That the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Your faith, like gold, is tested by fire and purified. Your faith is purified. And so you rejoice in the face of the distress. Again, this is the challenge of our faith. This is the calling of our faith. To not be overwhelmed, to not faint, but to be renewed. Though the outward perishing, the inward man is renewed day by day. And so the light affliction, which is for a moment, works to an eternal weight of glory, Paul said, 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. You see, Paul is urging us, the Holy Spirit is teaching us, focus on heaven, focus on the eternal, because this flesh is here but for a short time, and then you die. Be renewed day by day, with heaven's clarity, and rejoice in tribulations. And fourthly, remember that God's grace is sufficient to sustain us. He speaks of that grace in Romans 5, 1 and 2, as we just mentioned. And we go again to 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 and 10. That is what Paul told, or the Lord told Paul when he prayed to him repeatedly, please remove this thorn in the flesh, this physical
ailment and distress, this infirmity. And he said, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul, I want you to rely more on me than on the strength of your flesh. On my favor than the benefit of the physical. My strength is perfected in those things that are weak in this world. And so Paul contented himself with that, bolstered his faith in that, boasted in that. He said, I take pleasure then in that. Because you see, like Paul, we stand on the solid ground of faith. And as we stand on that ground, tribulations cannot, will not separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Romans 8, 35 through 37. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We are victors in Christ. This is what we must remember. As God's grace is sufficient to sustain us and to bring us to victory. Not just to drag us through it, but to bring glorious victory. Honoring of God. Trust in Him. The focus on Him, not on us. The praise that He is due in the moment of tribulation and beyond. You see, because He brings us to victory. In Revelation 2, 9 and 10, Jesus wrote to the Christians in the church at Smyrna. And He said that some of you are about to be persecuted. Some of you are about to be imprisoned. You're going to be persecuted. But He said, do not fear any of the things that you're about to suffer. Be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. Some of them would be put to death. Even to the point of death, you'd be faithful. Do not fear. God knows, and God does not forsake His faithful ones. That's how we were able to take glory in tribulations for Christ's sake. It's not rhetoric, brethren, when we say rejoice in tribulation. It's not a trite expression. If we think that it is, then we need to strengthen our faith. It's not trite. Neither is it intended to overlook the reality of the present
distress. God knows the pain. Jesus suffered it.
Someone says, God just doesn't know what I'm going through. Oh, yes, He does, and then some. Jesus endured it on the cross. So, we don't mean to be tried at all. It is not
hollow rhetoric
to say we share in the suffering of Christ. No, Paul says we will glory in this. We will
rejoice
in having a part
of suffering
for what is right,
for what is good, for what is truth. This has to be our approach to living all of our lives. Because you see, all who would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. When you determine unwaveringly to follow the Word of God and be faithful to Jesus Christ in word and deed, there will be opposition. There will be pressure and distress and opposition and tribulations. Amen. Rejoice. Great is your reward in heaven. If you say, boy, I wish I had that faith. I wish I could do that. Understand, it's not beyond our capability. Or God would not have said that's exactly what we ought to be doing. And so it begins by becoming a Christian.
It begins by accepting
the reality that when I become a Christian, I'm accepting that there will be pressures, there will be trials, there will be tribulations, and I will accept those because of what? Of the suffering of the Christ and because of the heavenly reward that makes possible. Be saved today from your sin and live for Jesus. And if you've not lived for Jesus, then repent and come back to Him in faithful repentance as a child of God seeking His forgiveness in prayer, and He will forgive you. Won't you be saved? Won't you come to the Lord? All together we stand and we sing.
Would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with Him?